Thank you, so kind. For those who don't know me, I'm Sarah House. I've been a member of Cedar Ridge for about 8.5 years since we moved to this area. Usually in the middle, in the back, right there with my husband Andrew, and sometimes our three kids, James, Alex, and Eve. Eve's here today. But I was gonna thank first Matthew for inviting me to give this message. I was a little unsure at first. I asked for a week to think about it, because I was like, what movie? And what should I talk about? But for the purposes of what we're doing today, I'm gonna give you a little background of me before I tell you why I picked this movie. So, I have a degree in ancient Mediterranean civilizations and art history. Highly employable, I know. So you'll see why it's relevant when we share the first couple of clips. I'm a sci-fi lover. This is something not everyone knows. I'm really nerdy. I grew up with Next Generation Star Trek, Red Dwarf, Twilight Zone, Outer Limits, you name it, I probably watched it. And I really love how sci-fi explores the human condition. It's something where we can imagine what would happen in the future based on the choices we make right now. And that can be good or bad, dystopian, utopian, who knows? The imagination has no limit. So we can imagine now with the fifth element, you see why I love it. And how many of you have seen the movie? Ah, good, you've got nice. How many have seen it more than once? Almost the exact same hand. And how many have gone to YouTube to rewatch some scenes just because you thought about it? Well, there you go. Okay. I know my nerves. So, this movie came out in 1997. So, it is vintage, according to my kids. And it was a real pivotal time in my life. This was the summer before I went to college. And I see you all doing the math in your head. I'm 45. Now, I saw this movie, and honestly, I don't even remember if it was the theater, where I was, but it stuck with me. And it's one of the few I actually bought later on. I watched it with my then boyfriend, Andrew, who I married. We've watched it together. We've shown it to our kids. So when Matthew invited me to give this talk, it was more of a, what could it be? And then, of course, it has to be Fifth Element. It's the only one that I think of when people ask, what's your favorite movie? And normally when you ask my favorites, I'm like, I don't know. So, this one sticks out to me because it's funny, it's layered and nuanced, it's a bit absurd, the costumes are incredible, the script writing is just impeccable. Chris Tucker as Ruby Rod, you have to have the captions on to understand what he's saying half the time. Love it. And mostly good acting, there's some, you know, moments that are not. And some big name actors. So things in it that really draw people in through time. So I'm gonna share these first few clips. Let me first, yeah, I'm sure you've all seen this. So Gary Oldman, who is a chameleon, you've probably seen him as Winston Churchill, Sirius Black in Harry Potter. He played Commissioner Gordon in Batman. Bruce Willis, this is during his heyday of the Die Hard movies. Mila Jovovich, this was one of her debut scenes, so the beginning of an awesome career. So no context for those who haven't seen it, we're going to just toss you right in and let you see what happens.
Aziz. Aziz.
Aziz, light!
Aziz, light.
Recognize him?
Good. Start again. When the three planets are in eclipse, the black hole like a door is open. Evil comes, spreading terror and chaos. See the snake, Billy. The ultimate evil. Make sure you get the snake.
Yes, I've got your snakes. I got all the snakes. So when is this snake act supposed to occur?
Huh? Well, if this is the five, and this is the one, every 5,000 years.
So I've got some time.
I can tell my 90s ladies out there. Yes. So 1914, Egypt. We have an archaeologist discovering something amazing, reading the hieroglyphics on the wall. Another pivotal time in history, 1914. People know what's happening then. Start of World War I. So we'll move into the second clip now. If it will advance.
This man, this perfect being. I know this is the key, I know it. And this divine light they talk about. What is divine light?
Aziz, light!
Much better, thank you, Aziz.
Love it. So we saw a depiction on the wall of this divine light, the fifth in the center, the supreme being that he mentions. And what we're going to see now is you saw a spaceship descending, the light shining. What's about to happen? Let's find out.
Most unbelievable thing I have ever seen,
don't you think?
Are you German?
Lord, I know he was about to discover everything. But there is no worry. I was there in time.
Priest, you and those before you have served us well. But war is coming. Stone's not safe on Earth anymore.
Really amazing.
Introduced to some of the main protagonists here. The aliens, who are later introduced as the Madoshi ones, are these giant creatures standing about 7 feet tall with round metallic armor that kind of looks like a turtle shell. And they kind of waddle around like penguins shuffling, which you'll see is a real detriment in the next scene. But now we're going to move forward. You noticed, hopefully, the stones, as they refer to them. So four triangular prisms that are in different spots around. In the center was the sculpture of a person with their mouth facing toward the sky. So what happens next now that they've taken the stones and the fifth element away?
The wall is closing!
Here is your mission now. Pass your knowledge to the next priest as it was passed on to you.
I will do as you command, but please hurry. You still have time.
Time not important, only life important.
The moment. You know, you you'd think they could put like wheels on those big giant armor things, but no, trapped. And leaving the key to the priest to prepare for the next time evil returns. So now we're going to jump forward 300 years to the year 2263 in New York City. And there's an unknown phenomenon that's been discovered deep in space. It's been described as a planet-sized fireball. So now we're going to see what this is that has reappeared in 300 years.
What you're saying is you don't know what this is.
Not yet, sir. All we know is it just keeps getting bigger.
Documentation?
My philosophy, Mr. President, is shoot first and ask questions later. I don't like uninvited guests.
All right, then. Stetter?
Mr. President?
Yes?
Priest Vito Cornelius, expert of astral phenomena.
I have a different theory to offer you, sir.
You have 20 seconds.
Imagine for a moment that this thing is not anything that can be identified because it prefers not to be. Wherever there is life, it brings death. Because it is evil, absolute evil.
One more reason to shoot first.
Evil begets evil, Mr. President. Shooting will only make it stronger.
Probe will attain its objective in 5 seconds.
Growth rate is at 27%.
Your theory is interesting, Father, but we don't have time to go into that right now.
Time is of no importance, Mr. President. Only life is important.
You're right. That's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to protect the life of some 200 billion of my fellow citizens.
So, now the stage is set. Do you see now why Fifth Element came to mind, especially when asked for God in the movies? So we have this ultimate evil and good, the battle between it, clear connection between love, sacrifice. And so I wanted to then come to the theme of the message, which is from John 15. Took it from NIV this time. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So you're going to find out how that fits in throughout the movie as we go along. Now, I want to ground this even further in the roots of the story, the elements. So this theme pops up over and over, not just in this movie, in other cultural aspects, in art, in science, in health, across all genres, all cultures. So we're going to do a speed run of the history of the elements. And we're going to start with Western civilization. So that starts in ancient Sicily with Empedocles, who began with this idea of earth, air, fire, and water are the basic four elements that make up everything in life. So he actually started also this idea that you can break these down smaller and smaller. A disciple of his took the idea a little further and coined the term atom. So you see how this idea of what are we and how can we break it down is across cultures. Aristotle took it a little further. He added more concepts. But, you know, ultimately, you can't just mix earth and air and create something new. So in Eastern philosophy, they also added in other aspects of how it affects your health and body. There's a search for the meaning of life, of why we are, why things are, and it is elemental to us as human beings. Now, this also comes up in your everyday life. You can buy some of the four stones on Etsy as candle holders. And I know now that a lot of people enjoy this connection, so I'm going to move
Keep
on, though.
From the Monash Universe. Oh,
that should start immediately. There we go. Let me go to black. There we go. So, I need to catch you up now. Evil, aka the dark planet, also known as Mr. Shadow by some, has been communicating with an evil human during this time. He's an insanely wealthy man. He's a weapons manufacturer. He's got portfolio, thank you. He owns cab companies. He owns energy companies. He has every resource you can imagine, yet he's not satisfied. And he's seeking out more money, more power, more control, more. And his name is Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg. So he's often known as just Zorg. And you'll recognize him later. I can't go deep. You know, it's a long movie. I wish I could include it all. But you'll see him. He's played brilliantly by Gary Oldman. He's got this terrible haircut with this black fringe across the side. And he's just a little manic at times. And Zorg's paid a mercenary group of aliens called the Mangalores to steal the stones and the fifth element. Now, don't worry, you don't have to remember all the names of these aliens. But perfect evil matching up to destroy perfect good. So as the fifth element and the four stones are being transported back to Earth, now that evil has returned, we've got to get them back to that temple to save the world. Zorg's paid that mercenary group to destroy it or capture it. So they shoot down the Mondo Shiwan ship as it is returning to Earth. But don't worry, you know, good triumphs over evil. And now we're gonna hop back into the action.
Team has reported from the Mondo Shiwan crash site.
Any survivors?
Only one. Is that what you call a survivor?
A few cells are still alive. It's more than I need.
You at least identified it?
We tried, but the computer went off the chart. You see, normal human beings have 40 DNA memo groups, which is more than enough for any species to perpetuate itself. This has 200,000 memo groups.
Sounds like a freak of nature to me.
Yeah. Can't wait to meet him.
You okay, General? Over here.
Excuse me.
Okay, General, I want to show you something here. This is a normal human DNA chain, okay? You, me, anybody, right? Watch this.
The compositional elements of his DNA chain are the same as ours. There's simply more of them, tightly packed with infinite genetic knowledge, almost like this being was engineered.
Okay, we're going to ignore the scientific technobabble here because it is all wrong. And if you want to know why it's all wrong, just ask my husband after the service. But this idea of they can recreate based on this perfect DNA, which really means nothing. And now we'll move into the next step. So what you're gonna miss is an amazing 3D print job of a human being. We're gonna skip past that because there's some mild nudity. Also, there's like muscles being printed and stuff. It's a little gross, but fun. And then we get our first look at the fifth element. And surprise, it's not a man. They've been describing this perfect man, the perfect being, can't wait to meet him, and then boom, it's gonna be Lilu, who we'll introduce to you, wrapped up in thermal bandages. And let's see what happens next. Actually, I'm gonna pause.
She's reported from the Mondo Shiwan crash site.
Any survivors?
Only one.
Yep.
Is that what you call a survivor?
A few cells.
Can you advance to the
alive.
Next one, Greg? And pause it? Thank you. And pause. I realized I needed to give you a little bit more context. So she has dirty hands because she just escaped from the lab. And she is... Okay, let me put it. So she did not want to be kept trapped in the space. She's escaped. She has no idea where she is, who she is, what's going on. And now she's running away from the police who don't know who she is. It's just they've been told to grab her. So now let's go. Oh,
any
that
survivors?
Went too far. There we go.
She has no file. She dove off.
Had to cut it off there. Some mild language, too. So This is, remember, New York 2263. So of course we have flying cars. Of course it's a chaos of ups and downs. And so she dove off to escape the police, crashed into the top of a cab, which just happens to include Corbin Dallas, Bruce Willis, who of course the male protagonist in this, who we'll find out. I'm skipping actually most of the Corbin Dallas storyline, so sorry guys. We are gonna focus a little more on Lilu. So now we're going to move into what happens after he swears a lot.
Any survivors? You okay?
Mena loy ne tratta satun mando chi wen meta lakta liguna ispero bena krasma feru junna deno ferji hamas meta tvot kit zid handla suk suk dopo metim bakta se no voi ti to male ne palela feno kiko hamas statun drum pam sono dopo da dindo scala nela dindo gela boom
boom yeah I understand boom
bada boom
big
big.
Yeah, big bada boom.
Big. Bada big boom. Big.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, big bada boom.
Bada boom.
Big. Boom. Big bada boom. You know, you're lucky you're not dead.
This is a police control. Please keep your hands on the wheel. You have an unauthorized passenger in your vehicle. We are going to arrest her.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Sorry, honey. Looks like this is your ride.
Open the door.
Better do what they say. Sorry.
Left on my license, and I need that to get back to the garage to get the cab. A 6-month overhaul. You understand?
Can you please open the passenger door?
Players.
Oh. I can't.
So, spoiler alert, he helped. There was then a lovely car chase as he escapes from the police, taking Lilu with him. But I wanted to point out, so Lilu is the perfect being, and yet she's here asking for help. And I love this theme throughout the movie of the strong requesting help from others. So it also made me think about why we were made. You know, she was made perfect. How did God make us? So I wanted to add in this verse from Ephesians. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, we tend to emphasize the first two verse parts of this, but I want to focus on this handiwork, that we are God's handiwork. We are perfect in some ways. We have the DNA in us, just like Lilu does, and we are made to do good works. That is our purpose. So now, there's a lot that happens in between. I have to gloss over. It's incredible. Please watch the movie if you haven't. But Corbin Dallas, of course, just happens to be ex-military. He just happens to have all the skills necessary needed for this mission to save the world. And he is, of course, drawn to Lilu because he's looking for the perfect woman. So they do a lot during the first half of the movie to establish his credentials while Lilu sits around eating and learning to speak English and catching up on the history of the last 5,000 years. And then we gather together again, all the protagonists and the bad guys, in a place called Flustin Paradise, which is a resort in a giant floating ship above a beautiful planet filled with amazing beaches. And they're there for a concert with the diva Plava Laguna. And she is supposed to connect and bring the stones together with Lilu at that point. So we all converge into the space. But do you know what we do first? We pause for art. And I love this. So as someone who my next degree is in arts administration, I really love that there's this just moment of breathtaking beauty. And one thing I learned when I did a little research on the movie, the actors had never seen the costuming. They had never heard the song. They were gathered into this opera space to film, and it was the first time they saw it as well. So the reactions that happen in the crowd are all genuine. So I want you to look at it in that way and see what happens. Now, interspersed, so for those who are low vision or blind, there's a lot of action, and I'll try to fill in some of it later, but it is beautifully cut with the music. Sorry, I'm speaking a little loudly into that. It's beautifully cut with the music to emphasize moments. So I'll try to bring that up later. But now I'm going to sit and I'm going to enjoy this because I've seen this like, I don't know, 6 dozen times, and it's awesome every time.
Showtime.
Ship in trouble, requesting permission to dock for repairs.
Put him in the docking garage, inform security.
So.
Permission granted for 1 hour.
More than I need.
Yes!
I'll
take it.
Found it.
That's the scene I was referring to when you need to go to YouTube and rewatch that one over and over. So we saw Lilu pissed off, basically. She's remembering the crash. She knows what happened. The aliens who basically killed her are back trying to steal the stones, and she destroys them. So they're ransacking, looking for the stones in the Divas' quarters. She knocks them all out. They're gone. They're done. The Divas concert is complete, and we see what the purpose of Lilu is. She is a protector, she is a guardian, she is a fighter. She is going to do what it takes to make sure that her mission is complete. So that is the essence of the aria. So that was Zorg you saw with the little nasty chin thing. He's landed on Lost in Paradise. He wants those stones. The aliens he paid didn't bring them to him. He's got to do it himself. And now he walks in with one of his inventions and he's blowing the place up. He shoots anyone he sees. He goes into the opera house. The Mangalores then start fighting, bullets everywhere, and the Diva is hit in the crossfire. Sadness. Such beauty and art lost. And so now we see Corbin with the Diva at this pivotal scene.
You must give her the stones.
Who?
The fifth element. The supreme being sent to Earth to save the universe.
Lilu?
Yes. But she's more fragile than she seems. She needs your help. And your love. Or she will die.
Stay with me.
Help. If you want something done, do it yourself.
Yeah. You can't die. Come on. Listen to me. Wake up. Where are the stones?
What?
The stones. Where are the stones?
The stones.
They're not here.
The stones, where are they?
In me.
What?
And then we get a lovely scene of Corbin, like, basically removing them from her abdominal cavity, which I hope it's like some symbiote pouch or something like on Stargate. That's the only thing I can guess. So now we have the stones. But we also have Lilu, again, asking for help. So she's done what she can, but she's injured. She needs help. And so she's not this inanimate object like the stone. So So we have the four stones, the fifth element. She is life. She is the part that needs the connection. So as she was made to do this supreme being job, where Corbin needs to help her, so we are made to do good works. And we're going to move into Ephesians and see what James chose. I chose the message for this next one because I just really liked how it's in your face in the message version. So, dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half-starved and say, "Good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup." Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, "Sounds good. You take care of the faith department. I'll handle the works department." Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, works and faith, fit together hand in glove. So this isn't a guilt trip. This isn't a push for more volunteering or adding more to your plate, although I'm sure the church would love it if you came and helped out a little more with the farm, so I'll put that plug in there. This is more, I want to point out that this is about we don't have to do it all ourselves. Even the supreme being in this movie asked for help. That we are built in community. We are built on this premises of mutual support, of putting our faith and our works together in action. And that this is part of this mission of the church, of following Jesus together. It's not individuals. It is a community. Now, how are Corbin and Lilu going to save the world together? Because clearly it can't be done alone. So the dark planet, pure evil, is now approaching Earth rapidly. And Lilu is collapsing in Corbin's arms. So what is worth saving? Why are we worth saving? And we're back to the premise of the movie. Let me see, I think I jumped too far. Hold on. Where's James? That's okay. Let me go ahead.
Lost contact with
him. 3 minutes.
I think mine is broken, huh? Well, I gotta get the broke one.
We're never gonna make it. Corbin! Corbin, it moved!
What'd you do? Show me what you did.
Nothing.
Show me what you did. Shut up. Calm down.
Step by step. All right. I was just standing here like this. Okay. And I put my hands on the top like this. And I said, we're not going to make it. And that's it. Oh,
said wind blows. Everyone take a stone. Water for water, fire for fire, earth for earth. Go, now.
Earth. Open the other way.
Okay. I saw smoke in it. If I knew, father, you smoke? We need some matches. Well, we need some fire.
gonna die.
It's time for you to work now.
Protect life. Until death.
No, no, Lilu, listen to me. I know you're very tired. I'll take you on a vacation when we're done. I swear, a real vacation, just you and me. But listen to me, if you don't do something right now, we're all gonna die. You understand?
What's the use of saving life when you see what you do with it?
It'll be entering the atmosphere in 40 seconds.
Lilu, you're right, but there are some things, very nice things worth saving, some beautiful things.
Like love.
Yes, love, that's good, that's a good example, like love is worth saving.
I don't know love. I was built to protect, not to love. So there's no use for me other than this.
No, you're wrong. I need you. I need you very much.
Why?
Because.
Tell her, Colin.
Please, don't you need me?
Because.
Because
I love you.
Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one.
Figure out how to activate the stones, how to get Lilu to do her part as the fifth element and save the world in the nick of time, like heart-pounding action. So there's a lot of fan theories. What exactly is the fifth element? Yes, there was a person here, but what is the essential? What is the meaning behind this thing that bound the four elements together? You know, some say soul, some say spirit, that it's love. Well, my theory is it's life. This comes up over and over in here. So time is not important, only life is important, said multiple times. The idea of the perfect DNA. So what is DNA? DNA is what encodes us and creates life. So perfect DNA, DNA equals life. What is our purpose in life? To love. That's my personal theory. I think it's so shown out through the Bible too, that God is love, you know, so we are love. And that was demonstrated here. That's what stopped pure evil, was life. So in essence, we are the fifth element. We are what binds the world together, matter together, energy together. It's us as community. So that's putting God's love into action and out into the world. And that's what saves us. And that's what is demonstrated in faith versus works. So I just wanted to then share another verse, if I can get it to advance, from tying right back to the beginning. It's what we saw. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So I know some people, when they saw that I was going to speak on the fifth element, might have thought I would have said, you know, the fifth element is Jesus, the sacrifice, that. I didn't see it. This is really about us, about friendship, about being together, in my mind. You might have other theories. So I'm going to move to Ephesians. Again, the message, because I like the in your face. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted. And that's what we saw in this movie. It was the end was coming. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless cheerfully. That continues. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. Help is that word that came through this movie too. Asking and receiving help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything. On course to the end of time. Oh, yes. I love that wrap up. So, how this all connects to us as a community is where there is a lack of love and life, we stagnate. If we don't put our faith into action, we atrophy. You know, it's like muscles that you don't move. If you don't work them, they stop. Like they die. So faith without works is dead, as we read. And this movie really demonstrates the need for vulnerability, for asking others for help. I think a lot of times we hear from someone who's speaking here about how we need to do more and we need to accept more, to let others help us. Sorry, I'm tearing up. Because it's hard. It is so hard. Now, someone who's a doer, who always wants to fix things and be there for others, it's really hard to say, hey, I'm hurting. I need help too. Ah, I knew I should have brought the tissue up. So when you share your pain, it lessens. When you share your hurt, it decreases. Ah, love you. There we go. If you've seen the movie, you know what that is. So letting others put their love into action for you is an act of service. And I see this in my own life with people who love me, who push me, who help me to persevere. And they prove that it's worth the struggle to get through pain and to get through problems to the other side. And they give life meaning. So the more you surround yourself with people who love you, the more you have opportunities to put it into action. But while love is a motivating factor for change and growth, the first step is loving yourself. So God loves you as you are. God accepts you. And I find that beautiful because I know we all have moments as humans of doubt and lack in our lives. And I want you to just remember, you are perfect. Your DNA has life and love in it. So you can be accepted as you are. Now, the encouraging truth is that having moments of vulnerability like this is what creates community. Is that being able to lower your barriers, being able to speak your truth, being free to be yourself is what binds us together. And I love this community for that, because while I don't always share, I know that this is a place of acceptance. I know my kids are accepted here. I know that there is trust and support. And so I want to thank y'all for being part of this community and being someone that I can help and put my faith into action with, and someone that I know I can reach out to when I'm hurting. So this is what keeps us whole and what fills us. So now we'll take a breath, separate from my tears, and we will move into a time of communion. Now, when you're ready, the worship team's gonna come up, and I asked for the song that they are going to sing here, and it's based on Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your Lord. So as we gather, and when you're ready, and you come take a piece of gluten-free cracker and some juice, you can eat and drink at the tables at the front or the sides, or whatever feels more comfortable to you. And you can light a candle in the back as a form of prayer and a symbol of light. We do have fire. Thanks to my husband for that joke. And you can visit one of the other stations around the room. But I want you to think, as you take this communion, I want you to think of one thing that you can do for yourself to be merciful and loving to yourself. To accept help, love, and justice. To embrace life in all of its messy complexity. So please, when you have time, come and take communion. Thank you.